My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of 88 Miles Per Hour Podcast. I am your host, Sanch, and as always, I am joined by...
Maximiliano!
Yeah! Hello, Max. How are you doing? Welcome back, sir.
Dude, I just want to say it is a miracle right now. We have a legitimate miracle. We're sitting, you and I are actually doing an episode.
Yes, we are.
It seems like it's forever, but I want to tell the listeners... The reason why is, all right, Sanchez's schedule changes, like, pretty frequently because of his schooling and stuff. But if you were to take my schedule and to take Sanchez's schedule and to say, you know, you lay it out and you're like, okay, so how can we put these two schedules to make sure that they don't overlap at all and that they can't even interact with each other? Let's do that, because that's what happened in this, like, last month. Is just, like, any which way we try to, like, record, something happened. Either he had school or homework, or on my end with my job and vocation, like, it didn't happen. So it is a miracle. This episode, I don't even know what episode this is, but it should just be called 88 Miles Per Hour, the miracle episode.
Yeah, the miracle max episode.
Oh, there you go,
dude. Princess Bride reference right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Bam,
the miracle max episode.
All right, That's the best this episode's going to get, so we should just end it now.
Yeah, all right, ladies and gentlemen, well, it's been fun, so that's another night. Let's go back to the future. What's cool about this episode, ladies and gentlemen, is that if you're listening, I've done the trifecta, I guess you would say, the trilogy, the three-peat or whatever, because I was actually able to record within 1 week, actually in 3 days in a row. I was able to record with Renata, I was able to record now with Max, and I was actually able to record with Chelsea. So I knocked out three episodes in one
week.
There you go. So yeah, so... only one episode we didn't do a movie. It was to reacquaint. For those of you who haven't listened, it was the Renata episode. It was catching up with Renata. I'm not sure what I'm going to title the episode, but I used already catching up with Depeche Mode, so I figure, like, something with Renata. So, you know, she makes her return. So we didn't talk movies. It was a catch-up, ladies and gentlemen. So if you haven't heard it, check it out. Chelsea, I did Elvira. And then now with Max, we're finally, after talking about it back in April 12th, I think, we're finally going to be doing the Tom Hanks classic, Big.
Oh, so good.
Yes. I'm actually excited about this movie, like, to talk about it. I mean, it's been a while, because I honestly haven't watched it fully in years. Like, the last time I probably watched it fully was back on USA early in the 2000s. So, of course, there's a lot to talk about. But, you know, before we get into that, you know, let's talk before movies. Let's talk other things. I know, you know, when Max is on, what's cool about Max is Max likes to talk about classic gaming, classic games, you know, everything about the 80s that was awesome when it comes to video games. So I know there's people that tweeted out, we're like, oh, I love Max's game, you know, reviews, talks about stuff. So, you know, I know he has a, you know what? Let's take it away. Go ahead, Max.
Can I give a shout out real quick?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot about shout outs. Never mind, ladies and gentlemen. It is that time. Yeah. For some shout outs.
All right, so the first shout-out is Bobby_80s, and I actually just found out this guy today. I have, you know, I follow on Instagram a couple of toy collectors who sell their stuff, but also collect. So it's kind of cool. They do trades and stuff. But this guy, Bobby underscore 80s, he has a really – most of his stuff is like a collection. He does sell some stuff here and there. But what I really liked is he had some really cool like TMNT stuff. Like he had this really cool Michelangelo like plush doll, and it was really cool. Like I actually haven't seen it before, but I know my cousin had it, but I haven't seen the Michelangelo.
So it's an actual toy from yesteryear, right?
Yeah, it's from like 88, 89.
Oh crap! Nice.
Yeah, his was like in such good condition, like it almost looked mint. And he got it at a flea market for like $20. So, and then he also has these really cool TMNT like action figure holders that actually I used to have, where you put all your toys in and stuff. That was pretty cool.
You know what I noticed? For the exception of Hot Wheels, they don't do that anymore.
No.
Yeah, they don't do that, because I remember Thundercats. We had one. My cousin had one where you put the figures, you hold it. He-Man, mm-hmm. like Ninja Turtle, like. They always had your carrying case for your games. I mean for your games, for your toys. Well, games even had it. I actually had this long suitcase that was like all long. Like I would carry it whenever I would go over like sleepovers or someone's house.
I would
carry it, and there'd be all my Nintendos. Like, you know, now, I mean, they don't have that. They don't do that. Just with Hot Wheels. That's it.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I never even thought about that. But yeah, you don't see that. I mean, I found this really cool like N64 like. It's not really a bag. It's not really portable, but it's a box that like you can hold everything in, which is cool.
Yeah.
And it just like pulls out, and it holds all your N64. And it's cool. Those things to me, they're like kind of rare and don't really see it. But I got it for like a buck in the thrift store. But anyway, so check out this guy, Bobby underscore 80s. He's got a lot of Ghostbuster toys, and he's got these really. He's like super into Ghostbusters and Crash Dummies. You know those Crash Dummy dolls and stuff like that.
Yeah. So no, that was 90s, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's got some 90s stuff, but, like, that those are, like, his two.
We just follow them on 88?
Yeah. I think so. Or it might have been my personal.
Oh, okay.
I think it was on my personal.
But oh, I'll follow. Yeah, I don't see it. As recent follows, I don't see it.
Yeah, I'll follow it on 88, but I think it was on my personal one. But, yeah, so check out that guy. He's got some pretty cool stuff. And if you are a toy collector and you listen to this, let us know. Let us know if you would even like a whole episode of toy collecting and stuff like that. We've talked 80s toys, but we haven't really got a full episode on it. So let us know in the comments and Twitter and all that junk. So.
Yeah, and I want to just give out a shout out to all our fans who have been following us, and also to anybody who's been trying to listen to the episode, not realizing that our website was down. So no one was able to download any episodes. It's back up, finally. So if you're trying to listen or download any episodes from 88, you can now. So head on over and check it out. And also, too, you know, we just hit the, on Instagram, the 400, I mean, that's 400, I'm sorry.
600
mark. I know it wasn't that high not too long ago, so we've grown up. And follow. So thank you guys. So shout out to all the fans. And again, if you know, we love hearing from our fans. So tweet us, Facebook us, Instagram us, anything you want. You know, we love to hear it. You got questions for Max, anything gaming related or whatever, or, you know, you just want to ask me questions. You know, you want to ask Renata a question, you know, or even Chelsea, any of us, go for it. Ask us away, or just give us a shout out and you get to pick movie of the week, you know? So, so, you know, just shout out. I love 88 Miles Per Hour podcast, you know, tweet it, Facebook it, whatever, a picture of you holding something that says that. And then
tattoo it on your butt.
Yeah. There you go. Put it on your butt and then show it to us. And you get to pick the movie of the week. There we go. All right, cool. So I guess.
Another thing I want to talk about real quick before we get into it is summer movies have officially launched with Marvel Age of Ultron. And actually, as we're recording this weekend, Mad Max comes out. But there's three 80s remakes that are happening this summer, which is pretty interesting. And I just want to real quick, Sanch, I want to hear kind of your predictions on how well these three movies are gonna
okay
Well, okay, so we got the Mad Max, the Terminator, Genesis, and Poltergeist.
Okay, so from those three, only one is a reboot, remake, and two of them are direct sequels.
Right.
So, obviously, the direct sequels are Terminator. It's a direct sequel from... I know they're omitting, McGee's movie.
Right.
And I think they're also omitting part three.
They're totally screwing the whole thing up because they're going back to, they're doing an X-Men Days of Future Past. They're like,
yeah,
we're screwing up the timeline. So
yeah, I mean, I'm still interested in it. If they can pull it off, I'll applaud them. But right. I'm confused because when I watched it, I was like, what is happening? Like, what happened? So, I mean, hey, it's whatever they want to do with it. That's fine. I mean, I can't, it's their freaking movie, but I'm just curious how they pull it off. Mad Max, I know it's a sequel, and it's the original guy, George Miller, but so far what I've been reading on the reviews from the sites that I trust, they've actually, been saying some pretty good things. There's a website that I trust with movie reviews, called Ain't It Cool News, and it says right here, I didn't read the review because it's spoiler, but I'll just say it's run by Harry Knowles, like the uber geek of, you know, the internet since like mm-hmm. early 96 or something, 95. Yeah. He goes, Harry gets shiny and chromy for every cinematic second in Miller's vehicular von Valhalla. I don't know what the hell that word means. I'm horrible at reading certain words. Mad Max Fury Road. So basically... He went horror, like, extremely gaga over this freaking movie. So, he starts off, I'm just only going to read this. The wasteland has never been so vibrant, so mad, so overpowering, so fast, or so furious before. I'm like, wow. So, I'm really excited to see that movie. It looks freaking good. And I know Max was like, hey, we should do Mad Max next. But I told him... No, we need to watch the movie, the new one, so that we can at least kind of compare from, like, the original Mad Max or the Mad Maxes. And then, like, because it would, in all reality, we would have to watch all three, you know?
Yeah.
And then watch the new one and then do, like, a whole 2-hour Mad Max episode.
That would be awesome.
I know.
You know, I was going to say, they used to call me Mad Max when I was a kid.
Really? Yeah. You were always mad or what?
Well, I was like, really, I was bad. I just had a lot of energy. So I couldn't stay put, but I wasn't bad. Like, I just, you know, I just had a bunch of energy. So this happened, you know, I was, I forgot where I was. I was at some kind of family function and there was a pool and I would run and I didn't know how to swim. So I was like maybe 2 or 3 and I would just run with my clothes on into the pool. Like, I would try to do it, and my dad and my mom would have to, like, grab me and, like, put me and say, don't do that. And then I would just try to run, and, like, I get to see myself, like, just, no, I'm going to jump in the pool. And then, like, you know. And then, like, I think it was my dad's uncle was like, oh, he's Mad Max. So.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Mad Max. So I guess maybe this movie kind of has a little bit more of a sentimental touch to you.
Dude, I think most of it's practical effects. I think they were really intentional on that. And the movie just looks gorgeous, like with all the yellows and it. And I know it's going to be super violent. And I heard it was like borderline NC-17 and they had to cut back some stuff because how gory it was. Because of that reason, I don't think it'll hit the like top 10 of this summer, but it is going to be an awesome movie.
Yeah, they're taking a risk with going R. Whoa, I'm hearing myself. Okay, there we go. They're taking a huge risk going R-rated, but you have to do it right. You know? Yeah. Like, and I like that. They said, they've been talking about this movie for, like, years. I remember reading
it. It was done in 2012, I think.
Huh?
It was done in, like, 2012.
Oh, it was actually, yeah, because I remember long ago, like, they've been talking about it, but I guess they took their time, maybe, like, or something, maybe. But who cares? Because all I know now is, like, the reviews are amazing. From the sources that I... Not sources, but the sites I do trust. The ones that I read their reviews, they've been giving it positive reviews. So, I'm happy about that. So, I'm excited to see that. Terminator, I want to see that. The next one is Poltergeist. That one is obviously a remake, and I brought it up on the episode with Renata, and I'll say it again, is that I'm just happy that they have the creepy clown. Like, without the creepy clown, there had to be a creepy clown, and I like that. And I want to do, again, hopefully an episode where the original is watched, and then we have, we had watched the remake. So mm-hmm. we kind of compare the two, because I know I already have one episode. This is old, but me and Chels had talked about this, that we're going to do Fright Night, and then we're going to talk about the remake Fright Night. Mm-hmm. And I want to do that. I really want to do episodes where we're comparing the two, where we're watching the original, and then we're watching the reboot or the remake, you know? Like, we should do that. Like, even though that movie is not 80s, it's still reference from an older film. So, like, we should do Karate Kid and then talk about the new Karate Kid, you know? And I like that. Like, we should do the Mad Max, you know, Terminator.
We're going to do it. So, a lot of remakes. We're going to talk about the originals and then the remakes.
Yeah, because I think that would be good, especially with this summer. You know, we should do it, you know? So
yeah, you know, Terminator Genesis, I mean, if you follow us on Instagram, those are my thoughts about it. So I'm not too excited about it. I'll see it, but I don't have a lot of faith in it. And then Poltergeist, I mean, I don't know if I'll see it. I might see it like the $2 theater by my house, but, you know, yeah. It's not like a must-see for me. Typically, remakes of horror movies don't interest me at all.
Because mm-hmm. they tend to tone them down.
And it's just, it's trying to be something you're not, you know? It's a poser movie. Mm.
Well, then that would be an interesting, so I guess we would have to wait until you actually see the freaking, so wait till Dollar Theater. Yeah,
let's go matinee.
Yeah, wait till Dollar Theater.
65, yeah, you know, Tuesday.
All right, so you said you wanted to do a video game review, so
yeah,
I guess it's that time of the for Max's retro game review.
We need some kind of theme song. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll play something I'll play some cool little little tune we'll have something. So here, let's do it. Ready? It's that time for Max's retro game review.
All right, so here's a classic. This game is iconic in the 80s and even just all of retro gaming, really. But it is the 1987 Contra. Yeah. So, you know, I want the music in the background right here. So Contra came out in February 20th, 1987 as an arcade game. And then it was transferred to the NES in 1988. And it's just awesome because this game is just the epitome of 80s. If you just look at the cover of the NES, it looks straight up like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Commando. There's a freaking alien that looks straight out of, you know, Ripley just, like, you know, fighting it, and then it's got John Rambo. Like, total knockoffs, and it's totally that 80s. Like, 80s just knocked off whatever was good, and it just made right. it go. So it was, it's just, like, even the cover, it's like, yeah, this is, like, we're a BA freaking video game. So, also in 1988, also some games that were converted from the arcade to the NES was Metal Gear, which is not a very good game in my opinion, but Double Dragon's super dope. I love Double Dragon. Yeah. So you got Double Dragon, you got Metal Gear, you got Contra, and then 1988 was also the release of Super Mario Brothers 2, which, I mean, I could get to this, but the port that North America got was not the original Super Mario Brothers 2. It was in Japan. It was similar to the first one, but then the developers thought it was too hard for gamers, so they converted a different game and then made it with Super Mario Brothers characters. And then also 1988, so we had Super Mario Brothers 2, and then the first issue of Nintendo Power. So 1988 was an awesome
year. I remember that.
So what makes Contra so awesome is, of course, the co-op. And for the first time, now the little brother can finally play. Little Sanj can finally play with his brother because there was no taking turns anymore. Both of you guys could play at the same time. And it's like, yeah! So, of course, and here's the plot. I mean, this is like so 80s and so just epic and awesome. So the year is 2633. It's in the future. The evil Red Falcon Organization. I mean, just that name, the Red Falcon Organization, doesn't say, like, all that just has so much terror in it. They've set up a base in New Zealand in order to conquer the world, and they have a bunch of aliens there. Bill and Lance of the Contra unit are sent to take down the bad guys and see what all this alien nonsense is all about. So they go and destroy the alien mother, you know. So this is a freaking plot. Really, I mean, Contra...
I didn't even, you know, it's funny. I didn't even know the plot whatsoever. I mean, I know... See, that was the thing about games back when, is that... Because if you wanted to know the story, the plot, or anything, it was always in the booklet.
In the manual.
Yep. Yeah, in the manual. If you wanted to know anything, that's where it was. If not, the moment you turn on the game, it's... Oh, I'm glad, dude. You went along with that. It was perfect. And then... You know, and that's it. There's nothing. Nope. Nothing. Like, you don't know. You're just two guys dropped in a jungle. But yeah, if you wanted to know the story, you had to read the booklets. That was the thing about, you know, the games. And I had no idea that was the freaking storyline. I just knew there was two guys, you know, and they're fighting and freaking...
Who cares? Gaming. It's like, you know, there's no tutorials. There's no, this is how you shoot. You just take the gun and shoot. Yeah. I mean, they don't even have manuals anymore in games. It's literally like... a card in there that like advertises their next game, or I don't know, it's lame, super lame. They don't even have freaking manuals anymore.
Yeah. Now, did you play the arcade? I've never played the arcade version.
I actually haven't. You know what? I don't even remember seeing it around. So I wonder how rare that was. It must have not been that rare since it got converted to an NES port. But that would be awesome to play.
Yeah, and they've also done an HD updated version.
Is that through like Xbox or
I don't know. I'm trying to find it. But I'm just like looking at images as like I was like looking up images because I saw like someone did they used the you know Arnold Schwarzenegger or like you know the image. I don't know if it was Commando. It looks like they took it from Predator, actually. But they have
Predator? That image. Oh, okay.
And then they have Rambo. And then they grab the two and they put it over. And they actually have, you know, the alien. And yeah. I was like, oh, but as I was looking, it showed like they had an HD version of it.
Maybe. Yeah, I know my buddy Armando did Contra 4, I think. Is that the one that's by WayForward? One of these ones for the DS he did. So, yeah, I mean... It's really known for, like, retro, but I do want to say that, like, the European version was called Greiser, and there's actually two versions. I think there was a German version that was called Probotector, and instead of humans shooting humans, you were robots shooting robots because the German law strictly prohibited humans from killing other humans.
Mm-hmm. What the hell?
Yeah, and what sucks is the European version didn't have the co-op mode. So what made this game awesome, they didn't even have. So
lame.
I'm glad I live in North America. So what's awesome about this, Sanch, is we played it at my house at my birthday a couple years ago, and we bust out the Nintendo and we were playing. But what makes this game awesome is not just the co-op, but I think it's the power-ups. The power-ups are awesome. You got the machine guns, which is kind of like the startup gun that you have, but it's automatic and it shoots really fast. Like, the machine gun's dope. The spread gun is the best, in my opinion, because it shoots in five different directions, and it's semi-automatic, so it doesn't shoot as fast, but the spread, I mean,
yeah.
You got crap flying everywhere. And the laser gun, avoid the laser gun at all
costs. Weakest gun of the
it
whole.
It sucks.
Because one,
it's like,
it's...
get the laser, don't get the laser, and then you, like, try to jump, and you're like, no!
You would get pissed off, and you're like, ah, damn it, like... Because it's like the laser gun was only good for if you had it and you were close to like something that was there and you would lay down and you would just hit it. But other than that, there was no distance in the bullets.
There was no distance and it shot really slow. And it, I mean, it was powerful, but it was just like you didn't want that gun. If you got that gun, it's like, oh, you're automatically like you suck. You know, it's
yeah.
Like, you might as well just reset the game. So, and then the flame gun, I personally don't like it, but it's the fireballs in a spiral towards the target. You know, I thought it kind of like, I don't know, it wasn't as fast. I like the more like, you know, the spread gun, the machine gun are my favorite. I know the flame gun works, and it's cool more for like two players. But, so those are the four power-ups, and I love the power-ups in this game. And then IGN actually ranked it the hardest game to beat because you start off and you only have three lives. That's it. You can only get hit three times, whether it's first player or second player. So that's it. Three screw-ups, and then you got to start from the very beginning of the game. So most games, you know, you'd get super pissed off and like, oh, forget this. It's too hard. But we had the Konami code. And
there
the Konami code...
I'm glad you brought it up.
You know it, right?
Yeah, of course, dude. It's the most... Even though everyone assumes it came from this game, it came before this, but yeah, the most famous code of all time.
And I'll get to that.
It's well known. Also, too, was featured in the movie Wreck-It Ralph. And it's... like, I knew it in... This was my way, I remember. Was up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, select, start. But in reality, it was just the buttons. Up, up, down, down, left, right, BA. And then from there, it was based on if you had to press start or select start. But it worked. Even if you hit select start on Contra, it still worked.
Yeah. So, and then it was also in the Moldy Peaches song. Left, right, down, right, BA, start. Just because we use cheats doesn't mean we're not smart.
Wait, what? What was it?
The Moldy Peaches? Juno? Come on, the Juno soundtrack, man.
Juno?
Juno, no.
No, I didn't. I'm actually looking that up for references. I'm like, I do not remember that.
Juno.
Well, I mean, I only seen Juno once, so.
Yeah, Juno came out in high school, so.
Yeah, and I didn't listen to the soundtrack, but I didn't know that was there.
Yeah, so, what was I going to say? Oh, so yeah, you touched on it, but the Konami code actually came out for the game Gradius, and that was the first time that the feature was available because the game designer thought the game was so hard, and he needed some code to get past it because he wanted to make sure that the game was, you know, going well, and he was playing it, and he was like, this is too hard, so I need to get past it. So he put in the Konami code, and it kind of just stuck. And then with Contra, you get 30 lives. And then even that's, like, almost impossible to do. So have I beaten Contra? No. I've gotten close.
You've never beaten Contra?
No, I haven't had a good enough player to play with.
Oh, wow. Damn, I'm shocked. Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, I mean, I grew up playing this game when it was actually released, and yeah, we would play it all the time, and yeah, I've passed it many times.
My goal is I need to find someone who's actually good and experienced. So maybe Santos, we just need to take a night, and I want to do it in three turns, you know? I just want to do it three shots. Let's do it. Let's beat it. No Konami code. Hardcore. That's
you ain't gonna do it. I'm on no one can.
Those are like badges for gamers. It's like beating Contra.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's even possible. I mean,
so it was funny. Is yesterday, I work with youth, and I brought over my N64 because we had a video game night, and we were playing GoldenEye, and one of the students who's like a gamer and stuff, he's trying to put in the Konami code. for GoldenEye. And I was like, no, dude. Like, I know this game's old, but, you know, not every old game has a canonical. And I was like, he's like, up, up, down, down, left, right, BAs. Then I was like, no, it's not going to work. He's like, how come it's not working? And I was like, because it's not Konami. And then, no, that's wrong. But I was like, I commend you for knowing it. And I was like, good job. But I guess the last thing I have to say about Contra, it's awesome. So I like to give the prices so you guys know and you're informed what is too much to that or what is too much, what people are asking for, because as I mentioned, games are crazy right now. So it's about $44 just the cart. The cart manual about $49 and $69 complete. Honestly, if you find it for $20, $25, I would say that's a pretty good price. Anything over $30, it's up to you if you want to spend that. But and the thing about this, it's not rare. Like it's just a popular game. And the thing about gaming, retro gaming, it's like it doesn't matter if it's rare or not. Even in popular games are becoming stupid expensive. So like on the website or the app that I use, it's a 3 out of 10. Rarity, meaning it's pretty common, but it's a popular game, so it's at high demand. I bought my copy for $3 at a thrift store back in 2009. So yeah, that's freaking Contra. Play it, you'll have a lot of fun. Don't get a mod, just you know, do it retro. Get the controller, pop it in, do the little, you know, clean it off and do it. Do your thing. So.
I'm shocked that they're selling this game for that much.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
God,
$50 is like if you're going to a game store, $50. If you find like a private dealer, like a reseller, maybe $35, $40. But yeah, go on eBay right now. I guarantee you, the first cart would be like, you know, around $50.
Wow, that makes me upset. I can't believe it.
It's not even a rare game, so.
Yeah, it's not. Like, it's one that, like, everybody had, so. I don't know. This is.
Yeah, here it is. Buy it now, $40.
And see, you know what sucks is that there's people out there that believe it's worth that much.
Yeah, and they actually pay it, so screw you guys.
Well, at least, see, it's those that. That's why Max is here. To tell you guys, don't be a moron.
Well, like, and I said, don't buy, like, right now, I don't think is the best time to buy. It's like, kind of like housing markets. I think everything's just in really high demand. Wait a little bit.
So you think there's going to be a crash?
I don't think it's going to be a big crash, but, I mean, we're even seeing it. Certain titles in NES, they're starting to come down. The ones that are high are still staying about the same, but there's certain titles that are dropping. Actually, right now, Sega's starting to go on the rise.
Really? Why?
It's the new trend. I don't know. But that's, you know, Sega's starting to come. I've been trying to, anytime I see PS2 games, I've been trying to stock up because that's going to be the next trend is now PS2, Xbox, those games are going to be like, pretty high in the next, I would say in the next year, 2 years, those are going to be the hot items to get. So, and then right now, like, here's my, like, observations. I'm not an expert on this or anything, but this is just what I observe. If you have an Xbox 360, a PS3, or even a Nintendo Wii, buy all the games that you can now for super cheap. Like, if you find, like, you know, those bundles and or in the GameStop bins that are like less than $20, I'd say get them now. This is like the best time to buy a 360 games or even a console if you're looking to buy a console. I think I saw at GameStop a used one for like $70-$80, so totally worth it. So
damn, I'm just shocked how some of these things that you're saying, that like, it's just, who would have thought, you know, you back when we had all these things and just, you know, they were priced, like, they cost money to purchase, but, like, I got myself right here, freaking, what is this? Hold on. Look it up. How much is a Yoshi Story?
Yoshi Story?
Oh, no, Yoshi's Island.
Oh, Yoshi Island? That's actually, On the top of my head?
Because I know that was a popular game for Super Nintendo.
I know it's pretty, let me see. My app, my phone died, so I don't have my app.
But, your phone always dies, man.
My phone sucks. Super Nintendo, right?
Yes, Super Nintendo. It was Yoshi's Island. It's Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island.
I see it for like 35. Really? That's probably, that's the going rate, $25. They have a version on the DS too. So
Yeah.
Here's a complete inbox for $120 on eBay. So $100 complete. But yeah, you know what's funny is my cousin who got married about a year ago. Mm-hmm. So I knew he had all these boxes of video games. He kept them all. Like he was one of the few people that I knew that had the Super Nintendo. He kept the boxes because he's just that kind of neat freak and stuff. So I go, dude, hey, do you still have those Super Nintendo games? Like, and he's like, you know what? I just got rid of the boxes last week. I threw them away. And I was like, you did what? And he's like, yeah, I was downsizing and I didn't realize that they were worth money. Wow. And I just went,
oh dude.
And I was, you know what? I wasn't even mad at him. I was mad at myself. But I was like, how did I let that happen? How come I didn't ask him, like, even 2 weeks before? I was so mad. I was like, you douche. Like, and he was like, I don't want to talk about it. And that was like, you know, we're texting back and forth.
Imagine
he goes,
how much money we're, man.
He probably threw away $400-$500. Oh my gosh. But the cool thing is he made it rare for other people, I guess. There's one less in box. I don't know. So
wow, I mean we used to do that. Actually, it was more my older brother. We used to when we would buy the games, my older brother would be the one that would open it, you know, and put the boxes aside. He would like save them. But right. I mean, and then at a certain point, it's just like it got tossed out. But man, it's just like just knowing like certain boxes and stuff. Man. Right. Oh well, I mean, it's too late now.
Yes, it is. I just need to get the DeLorean and go back in time and right? Stop.
Go back to
97. That's when there was like two. Go back to 1997, 98 when Super Nintendo games were like $2. So.
Yeah, seriously, when you would go to GameStop and it would still be, you know...
GameStop? You mean Funko Land.
Funko... Oh, yeah, they have a freaking... I forget what it's called. It's similar to that. But there's one over there in Fullerton. I forget what... I forget what it's called, but right there you could buy it. Now they probably up the price on everything, but back when... Right. Like, yeah. Well...
Yeah.
All right, if you had to give... a review of a look back review, because that's literally what it is. It's like, you know, these are games that we all loved growing mm-hmm. up, but now what would you review it going, just like as we would a film, we look at a movie and we're like, all right, we loved it as a kid, we're looking back, we're like, oh, the movie's terrible, I don't know why I liked it. What would be your review from zero to five? I don't know. You call it from zero to five.
I would give it five
coins or stars.
I would give it five spread guns because to this day I would say it's still top five in my opinion. Top five games for the NES. I mean this is still. I mean there's a reason why it's still a hot item and it's still $50 regardless of the rarity and stuff. So. It's a fun game, and it is like, you know, the fact that it's co-op, which is rare for the NES, it's a great game. It still holds up to today. So the power-ups, you got the power-ups, the music, you got the vibrant colors, you're freaking shooting aliens. You got to work together with your co-op, you know, the difficulty, all this just makes it awesome.
Unless you wanted to be a punk and you would jump too fast. On that right. level, and then next thing you know, you're freaking your buddy. You just killed your buddy. Let's see, where are we at on... Oh, perfect. Actually, you know what? We're already going to be at 40 minutes. So, did you want to get into the movie?
Let's do it.
All right, cool, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so now it's that time of the show where we talk about a film. We just did our nice, cool, you know, Max's retro video game review. And now it's time where we talk about a certain movie. We look back, and it's time for the look back to the movies. And this movie we're going back to, we're going to travel back to June 3rd, 1988, where we talk about the, I guess, fantasy drama Big, starring Mr. Tom Hanks himself. He was young in this movie. How old was he when he did this? I don't even know.
He just looks at her. I think he was like early 30s.
Yeah, because it says right here, after a wish turns 12-year-old Josh Baskin into a 30-year-old man. So there you go, 30. He heads to New York City and gets a low-level job at McMillan Toy Company. A chance encounter with the owner. It was like, so like, it reminds, you know what? When I think about it, it was like a, now when I look back, there's I was watching this movie and like, I'm like, ah, you know, I haven't seen it in a while, in years. And I was watching it and I was just like, this really reminds me of freaking Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. And that movie, I feel like kind of ripped off Big in the sense of like, minus the whole fantasy world and all of that. Where, because in Big, what happens, it's like, all right, I'm an adult now. I need to get a job if I need to survive or whatever. So he gets a job. And then he starts he goes in as entry level, lies on his resume, all this and that, and ends up, you know, having an encounter with the boss and gets promoted right away. There's people who are pissed off because they're like, hey, that was my promotion. Like, how can they move up? And they get jealous and they move up. And it's what happens in Big. In Big, it's the same thing. In Big, he's, you know, he needs to get a job. Lies on the application, lies because he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's a kid. He fills it out. Gets hired for an entry-level job. Has an encounter with the boss. Gets promoted. There's a guy who's jealous. And I don't know. It's just like, what the hell? Like, stupid, Don't Tell Mom Baby Says Dad just stole everything.
Yeah. I mean, dude, this movie, I love this movie. I mean, this is like nostalgia, like overload for me. I used to watch this as a kid all the time. It was like I've said in the past episodes, like I always love movies with kids. That sounds weird. I like movies with hands in them. But no, especially as a kid, like you want to see movies with kids. Like that's, at least that's how I was, especially like, you know, boys. I'm just making this sound creepy. They're like, oh, this is a creep. No, but as you know, being like a like, you know, I probably saw this all the time when I was like 5, 6, 7, and I wanted to be 12, 13, 14 years old. Cause to me, I'm like, oh man, those are like big kids, you know? And this is how life is going to be, the way they talk, the way they dress. Like I thought that was cool. So there's just like super, a lot of good memories about this movie just for me, you know, sitting around on a summer afternoon in my chonies and just watching Big. So
you're wishing like I was big.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So. Real quickly, like the one thing I decided to do is like we talk about the film as we kind of go down the plot. So as we go, we talk about the plot. We'll at moments we'll obviously cut ourselves off and we'll start talking about the film. Big is what I like about it is that it's done in a real world scenario, but mixed with fantasy. And mm-hmm. It's a stupid kid who, you know, right away in the beginning, they point out to you like, oh, he's a little kid. He's not tall. Man likes a tall girl in school. You know, he likes them tall. Tries to get on a ride, and then the stupid carny's like, hey, kid, get out of line. It's too small. And he's like, feels like a dork. And then the girl just leaves him like, hey, sorry, and goes with the other guy. In which the kid should have realized right then and there that she had no interest in him because she was there with some tall dude. Like,
who drove.
She mentioned, right? He's like, he drives. Like, right away, like, she's telling him, like, get out of here. You're, you know, she's like, you know, you're getting in my way. Like, this guy's all, you know, so... But at that point, he walks around all sad, like, oh, I'm sad. And he sees that awesome Zoltar machine, in which that would be a cool thing to own, just to have as a prop. The Zoltar, that would be cool. So he goes, he makes a wish, and from that point, you know, he says, I wish I was big. And then what happens? Massive thunderstorm. The magic sets in, wakes up the next morning, and he's big. He's Tom Hanks. But here's my issue in that moment. Okay, so that night, he makes a wish, and there's a massive thunderstorm, right? Like, it's huge. There's a massive thunderstorm outside, leaves, branches everywhere. It was a huge storm. Okay, when he wakes up as you know, Tom Hanks, he's all big. Like, he looks in the mirror, and he's like, oh, I must be having a dream. And he washes his face and realizes it's big. He rushes out of the house, right? What does he do? He drives out on his bike to where the carnival was, and it's gone. I'm like, you're telling me in the middle of the night, because it was in the morning, he had to get ready for school, so chances are it was sometime, like, it was probably 7 a.m. before school started, or maybe even earlier. You're telling me they packed up a carnival during this massive thunderstorm? Like, they're not going to do that. Like, I never realized it till now. Like,
okay, you're going there.
Right? Like, there's a huge thunderstorm at night. Even at one point, the baby gets woken up by the storm. The mom goes and looks over at the kid, and he's like, he's still a kid. Like, the carnival was at night. Chances are they probably got home around maybe 10, 11 p.m. They, you know, the carnival probably ended at midnight. You know, they started closing things down for everybody. And then, so, some at that point, when the baby was woken up, it's probably like 1, 2, 3 a.m. in the morning. He's still a kid at that point, in which it would have been funny if he transformed as, you know. But like I said, so from that time of the storm, like, they had no freedom of the wind, of the rain, or anything. So, the carnival still should have been there. So, I'm not sure why it wasn't, but for movie standards, they got rid of it. But it doesn't make sense, because it's like, there was a storm. It should have still been there.
That's, carnies are slaves. That's what it is.
They're like, we gotta get going, guys.
Gotta go. Carnies are.
Rain or shine, we gotta go.
Carnies are weird. I'm just saying it, dude. Carnies are weird. No, I wanna, I do wanna go kind of back to that scene where he puts in his, you know, quarters and he's getting the Zoltar, you know, card and stuff. Dude, yeah. That one used to scare me. That scene just, because it went from, like, all dark, and then his eyes glowed. What's the past tense of glow? Glowed? Glue? I don't know. Glowed. So yeah, it's
glowed,
it's,
glued, I don't know.
So his eyes were red, and then the dark mood, he was alone, you know, there's people off in the distance playing arcade games, which is awesome, but even like where the machine was, it was all isolated, right? It was all in the dark.
Yeah, and it was all music, off on its own.
Yeah, and then the music by Howard Shore, who's famous for
Howard Shore?
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings,
right? Yeah. So he has this like awesome, you know, music in the background, and then when it was unplugged, like that was straight up spooky. When he sees and like, it wasn't even freaking plugged in, you know?
Right?
Like,
yeah.
I just knocked my mic over. I'm getting too excited about this movie. So, so it's just like this movie is just like, it totally, that one scene to me, it was just like, oh, they nailed it. And as a kid, I was pretty scared.
Yeah, like I'm looking at the Zoltar machine, and I agree with you, that was kind of scary, because one, it's all off on its own, because I actually saw this in the theater, but it was all off on its own. And then there's even a part where he's just by himself, and then you see some stupid kids kind of like playing, chasing,
yeah,
and then they disappear. And again, he's like just there, like nothing's around. Like for some reason, that machine is off on its own, like it's magical. And yeah, once he makes the wish, and then he sees it, and it's not even plugged in. Like he's like, what the hell? And it was crazy because I liked how it was like so like, I don't know if this really existed or they made them, because I know they exist now, but I don't know if they've made them because of the movie, or they existed prior to the movie.
It's true. It's true.
But it's cool because it's like, it's a cool machine where you're going to put a quarter and then you have to like you know, you gotta move it, like, with the knobs, and then it, like, it does a directional, and then you just have to press it at the right moment, and then boom, he catches it, and he grants you your wish.
Right. Yeah, no, I just, it's a cool concept. I've seen this movie so many times, and, you know, I think it was, like, this time where I realized it kind of is a fantasy movie. Like, I was trying to categorize, what kind of movie is it? Is it a comedy? Is it a kid's movie? Like, what kind of movie is it? But, yeah, it is kind of fantasy. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a fantasy drama. That's what they were labeling it.
Yeah. So, do you want to hear the secret handshake?
The secret handshake? Go for it.
Yeah, man.
Oh, you could do it? You could do the whole thing?
Oh, yeah. Ready?
Go. Ladies and gentlemen.
Goes down, down, baby. Down, down the road. Goes a sweet, sweet, baby. Sweet, sweet, don't let me go. Shimmy, shimmy, cocoa, what? Shimmy, shimmy, ra. Shimmy, shimmy, cocoa, what? Shimmy, shimmy, ra. I met a girlfriend, a Triscuit. She said a biscuit, a Triscuit. Ice cream, so little on the top. Ooh, jelly. Walking down the street 10 times a week. I met it. I said it. I stole my mama's credit. Are you videotaping me?
Yeah.
I'm cool. I'm hot. Sucking his stomach 3 more times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly 15 seconds, too. So that's perfect. Instagram video. Hopefully the audio picked up because I have the audio way over here.
I got nervous when I saw the phone, so I think I screwed up at the end. But
see, but it's like, what I don't understand about that scene is because, like, okay, let's go back to the plot real quick. So obviously he wakes up. And he's an adult. He's like, holy crap. And then he has the mentality of the child. And what was cool about, like, because, all right, this was during a time, there were 4 movies at this time that in a freaking, for big, in the theaters, and within these 2 years of 87 and 88, there was 4, like just like we've seen it, Deep Impact with freaking... Armageddon, you know,
right.
We've seen, holy crap, it's coming down hard. It's raining right now, ladies and gentlemen.
It's thunderstorms.
We're California. We need the rain. I just hear it like, I was like, it's coming down. There's also two, you know, there's been movies. The Illusionist with the whatever the other movie, the Paul Giamatti, he was a magician or something. I don't know. They always do things like that. Well, this one, they actually had 4 movies where there was someone who was a kid, became an adult and a kid. They had, like, Father Like Son. I think that was with, what's his name? From Arthur. I can't think of the actor's name right now. He died. Dudley Moore. It was that one. Like Father Like Son. I thought Dudley Moore's performance in that was so, like, just, I'm an adult. Oh, I guess this is how kids act. And he would chew gum. Like,
yeah.
You know, I thought that was, it was just annoying. There was also 18 again. That was one with George Burns. Yeah, George Burns, you know, Vice Versa. That was actually, I enjoyed that one. Max recently watched it. And you had never heard of it before, right?
No, I've never even heard of it before.
I'm actually going to put the earphones on because I want to see. You could lightly hear the rain. Vice Versa featured Judge Reinhold with Fred Savage. I was going to say Kevin Arnold. I like actually this one. And then there's also another film. It was an Italian film, but I don't count that. What you call it? There was those films right there. Actually, those 4.
We don't count Italian films here.
Yeah. Even though it came out at the same time, but then there was also Big. Big is the actual one, and then that was the one where it's a little kid and grows up. So what I liked about this is that Tom Hanks, he's a great actor. I mean, he's won Oscars. What they did is that they had the boy who played him as a youth go out and do the scenes, the adult Tom Hanks scenes. They had him do the scenes, and all Tom Hanks did was, like, he would watch, he would study that, and mm-hmm. mimic what the kid would have done, and the way he acted. And then it's genius. So that's why when Tom Hanks is acting, he's not just like, oh, I think this is how a kid would act. He's right, like, no, right. This is literally how a kid was acting.
So good.
So, and that was genius. And also, too,
about... Well, he had a son, too.
Huh?
Well, Tom Hanks had Colin Hanks. I think he was born by this time, and he was like,
yeah, because he's a little, he's older than me, obviously. Like I'm not sure about, I don't think he's 40 yet. I don't think Colin Hanks is 40. He's probably like 38, 39 or something like that. But yeah, so he obviously had a kid too. And then, and it's weird because this film almost could have been a vehicle for Robert De Niro, but Robert De Niro passed on it because he was just like he was asking too much. Because sometimes there's a lot of movies where like they want to have a certain actor in it or actress or whoever, but their price range is too high. And the only reason why this film ever got any form of traction was the fact that Robert De Niro showed interest in this film. The moment he showed interest, studios are like, Robert De Niro, let's see what this movie is, all right? And then they started, obviously, fast-tracking it. But then Robert De Niro didn't end up doing it. At that point, boom, Tom Hanks steps in, and the rest is history.
I don't think it would have been as good with Robert De Niro.
No.
Like, no, there's no way. There's just something about Tom Hanks, just how, I mean, he nails the innocence. Like, you know, and I think you're right. Like, that's kind of my criticisms about, like, Vice Versa, or like the movies that you mentioned, was you have actors acting like, oh, I think a 13-year-old would act like this. But, you know, there's just so many, like, I listed some stuff that, just like his motions as a kid, like kind of all nervous a little bit. He's like, you know, eating his fingernails, you know, he's biting his fingernails, the way his feet hits the wall as he's like goes on the bed, you know, like he like hits in his bed in the apartment, and then like when he double dips, you know, with his chips and stuff, and then playing with like the lock, and when he throws this, like he throws his suit on a pile of clothes, like these are just like examples of what a kid actually does,
I think. So, I honestly, I would have to say the moment to me from this whole film that really I saw the moment where like, okay, that's what how a kid would be. This is real right here. Like, and it's the moment where he's left by himself
in the
hotel or the motel.
That's one of my favorite scenes.
And then he's out, he's like fixing his bed and he hears arguing and bah, gunshot. And he like freaks out, closes the window. And then he hears a guy answering the phone, talking all in Spanish, but yelling. And at that point, he just sits there, and he looks like truly, and a kid would have done this.
Right.
Sit there, just terrified, scared, alone. He blocks the door, and he lays in bed and starts crying. Like, and I love that scene, because that's that moment to me that I was like, wow, he captured...
Yeah,
what a child, how they would have reacted to that moment. And I thought that scene right there for me did it, where like, this is why for me, out of all those other films, Tom Hanks, I felt like was the best of acting like a kid, you know?
You know, I'm glad you brought that scene, because I was going to bring it up too. It's honestly one of my favorite scenes, because it's one shot. I mean, if you look at it, it's one take. It's about 2 to 3 minutes long, the whole scene, but it is one take from where he comes in, he's setting up,
pay attention to that.
He then sits down, and then he gets nervous, then he blocks it. Like, it's all one take. And that makes it where, as a viewer, you're in that room with him. You're feeling that emotion. You're feeling that kind of loss, that hopelessness, that scared, because they didn't cut away. And I know, like, filmmakers, they do that intentionally, only doing one cut and something like that, because they want you as the audience to feel the emotion that that actor is and that character is. So it's like, oh my gosh, it was such a...
And also, they didn't have music on that scene either, right?
Oh, it was completely silent.
Yeah, it's why, like, whatchamacallit, I remember Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park, the scene when we first are introduced to the T-Rex, before the whole chase scene happens, when they actually in the truck, before that, no music. And it just threw you into that scene. And that's why it's cool that, like, yeah, in that scene, you're saying one take, but there is also no audio. So you forget. So you're just hearing the sounds around there, and I don't know. I thought there's also another scene, but I think that was the main scene for me.
Yeah.
There's also another scene that, to me, makes me laugh, but the way a kid would act. But we'll obviously get to that. But But yeah, I mean, again, Tom Hanks, I mean, he knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you look at performances like this, where when you think of Tom Hanks, you don't really think of Big as one of his, like, acting gems.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's one of his hidden gems. Like, it is, it's a phenomenal movie. Like, I know I'm biased towards it because I just have a special, like, soft spot for it. But honestly, yeah, it's one of my favorite just kids movies. It's one of my favorite Tom Hanks movies. And I love all of his stuff. Like, he's has a phenomenal, he's one of the, like, I think greatest actors in this last century, you know. But Big is, like, you just see the quality. And that's why, like, I didn't, when I read that Robert De Niro, I was like, man, it would have been a whole different movie, you know.
And I don't think he could have pulled off what Tom Hanks did. You are right, though, because when you think about it, when you think of Tom Hanks, like, his films, everybody always talks about, like, more of the, like, the 90s and later movies, like,
yeah,
like,
Forrest Gump.
Yeah, like, yeah, Forrest Gump, Philadelphia, like, I mean, hell, even, like, Castaway, like, but no one really goes back and talks about, like, yeah, like, and none of, really, like, no one talks about his 80s films for some reason, and this is one of his big ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I like the tagline on the poster. Have you ever had a really big secret?
Right. It that doesn't even, I mean, tell the story that much. But just a little plot. Really, you need to watch this movie. But the plot is he wants to work for a toy store because they're hiring and the computers. What's interesting is this is 1987 and he gets a lot of, like, crap for being in computers. Oh, you and your computers, you know. Like, it's almost like he's getting degraded for working on computers, which is interesting, just how developed the world became and we're so dependent on computers. And it was, like, back then it was kind of just like, oh, you're just a weird kind of gaming thing, you know. Like, computers really weren't part of our world like it is. So he gets into this job interview, and freaking John Levitz is one of his coworkers later on.
But yeah.
I love the scene where he's filling out the his job application with his friend, and he goes, they're trying to fill out a freaking application, a job application, you know, and then they go, what did that guy put? And they're trying to, like, look over and, like, oh, that sounds good. And then they, like, write it out. This is freaking funny.
And then he's like, social security number. And he's like, 28, 20, whatever. And he's like,
yeah,
what's that? That's my locker combination.
Yeah. It's brilliant, you know?
And then when he's getting interviewed, when he's going to go, he's like, I'm sorry, you're going to have to leave your son here. And they're like, all right, dad.
All right, son. You
know, and then that stupid annoying guy with the pen.
Yeah.
And you're like,
oh. Dude, I do have to mention that when I saw this for this review, it was the first time I ever saw the extended version. I don't know if you've ever seen the extended version.
No, I didn't. I didn't even know there existed one.
Me either, but I was on YouTube and they had this extended version. It's 2 hours and 40 minutes. And actually, there's a lot of really cool scenes that give more character and give a little more depth to the story as a whole. And it kind of clues in, I won't spoil it, but it clues in, you know, things later. I'll talk about it when we get to there. So Josh, he gets hired, and then he goes to this toy store because he's a kid, and the toy store is run by his company, and he runs into his boss, and they play on this freaking, like, piano that's huge, and instead of using your fingers, you use your feet to play the piano. And I've actually played on that very piano in New York before at F.E.L. Schwartz.
I wonder how many people have done that. That have done that.
Chopsticks?
Yeah. You know?
Right. I don't know. I didn't do it. So I just went, oh, I'm, like, big. You know? I was like, jumping up. I was like, this is so cool. So, yeah. But, so he gets hired, or he gets promoted because he starts playing with games and he runs into the owner of this, you know, company, and he goes, oh, you know your stuff. Cause he's a kid. So he then, you know, gets promoted, and he's a kind of tester, and he tests now the toys and stuff. And one of my favorite scenes is when he's in the conference room, and, you know, like, I guess the rival, you know, the kind of bad guy of the movie who doesn't get along with them is promoting this, like, Transformer knockoff of a building. Oh, and, you know, he goes, "I don't get it." And he's like, "What don't you get?" He goes, "Buildings aren't fun." And it's just like, it's so good. I love it. I even posted it on our Instagram. Like, I just love that scene. Like, he just looks so perplexed. And he's like, "A building that turns into a robot?" Like, you know?
Yeah.
And no, it was a robot that turned into a building.
Yeah, and then out of nowhere, he's like, "What if it turns into a bug or something?" And everybody's like, yeah, bug, oh, yeah. Like, everybody's like, wow, the possibilities. Like, it's, like, so cheap. But, I mean, it, you know, I mean, I really love, I don't know, I guess it's Robert Lagana, mm-hmm. the old man actor. I like that guy. He's
he's a good actor.
You know, he was in Independence Day. You know, he's in Scarface. Like, he's a huge actor. I really like him, but, like, it's just, like, it's cool how, like, you know, he's, like, so impressed and, like, you know, it's like, oh, he's taken by this kid. But there, really quickly, I just want to point out one scene, my favorite, because it's, like, this is where, like, you get the mentality of a child compared to an adult, was when he's first being introduced to, or not introduced, but we see John Lovitz. And he's like, "Hey, what's the matter? You're trying to get us fired, you know, or whatever." He's like, and then he's like trying to, he's going, like, I like it because when he's doing the paperwork, he's doing it all slow. Like, you see him really quickly, but when he points, he's like, "See that woman over there?" He's like, "Just say hi to her and she'll have her legs wrapped around you, you know," or something. He's like, "Okay, good. I'll stay away from her." And yeah, he's just seeing it as in, like, she's going to attack him. And he's like, "Whoa, I better stay away." And later on, we'll get to that, but, well, you know, we should get that, because in the plot, like, after, like, he's in the meeting, and they're so impressed, they're like, "Oh, wow," you know, obviously, he starts moving up the ladder, he gets a new job, after doing, you know, when he meets the boss at the Chopsticks, they play Chopsticks, and, you know, he gets promoted, gets the big office, and his whole job is just to play with toys and tell him what he thinks. And even I like his kid, he's like, "Really, they're paying you for this? They're like, suckers." And I like the mom from, That 70s Show, she's the secretary, she's so timid and scared because she thinks he's going to be, like, a regular boss. And she's like, "Oh, yes, you know," and she's just like, and it's kind of funny because he doesn't even get it. He's like, "Okay, yeah," you know, and so later on, he's invited to a company party. And then right there, he runs into that woman. She just looks at him and goes, "Hi," like, a, you know, and he just, like, walks away, doesn't even say anything, because he, in his, again, the child mentality is, right, like, "I need to stay away from this woman because she's going to try to hurt me and wrestle me," you know, right. And that's what I like. Like, he does these cool little things, and then that's when, you know, the Elizabeth Perkins character sees him, falls in, like, you know, he's like, "Ooh, I want to check him out," and he's wearing a Dumb and Dumber style tux, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's funny because he's like eating all the food like a kid, like, "Oh, I don't get this," like, and what does he eat? Is it what is he? Caviar?
It's like baby corn.
Yeah, he eats.
Oh, it's like caviar. It's something fancy.
He's like, and then he's like, "Can we get out of here?" And she's like, in her mind, she sees it as in, like, "Oh, hey, you want to go get a nightcap," right, or whatever. Right. To him, he's like, "This is crap. Like, I want a burger."
It's boring, yeah.
Yeah, and I love in the limo where they're going back. Like, she's trying to, like, open up her soul to this guy. And he's just, like a kid pressing all the buttons in the limo. Like, "This is awesome." Because I remember doing that as a kid. The first time I ever got in the limo, I was like, "Dude, this is awesome."
I still do that.
And then he stands up. And I love the scene is, like, when they get to the apartment, where she's like, I didn't think we were going to be doing this. He's like, "Well," he's like, and then he's just kind of like, "What do you mean, like, sleep over?" And she's like, "Well, yeah." He's like, "Okay, but I got to be on top."
Yeah.
And it's just funny because, again,
I love about the humor of all that, it's so subtle and it's so smart. It's not, like, blatant. It's not, like, in your face, you know? Yeah. It's just, like, it's really, it's innocent in a way, you know? It's, like, you know, it's cleverly written, and it's not, like, you know, it's not gross. It's not like, you know, in your face and you, you know, they're not like trying to hit you over the head. Like you must laugh. It's like, it's all smart. It's all clever. Cause you're, it's all character development and stuff. It's awesome. I love this movie.
Yeah. And then see what's cool is that this, like what I like about this movie is that it really, what it's trying to show you is that how it's not bad to be a child at heart, to always have to, because that's what it is. Like when we meet the Elizabeth Perkins character, Susan, when you meet her, she's all the typical bigwig businesswoman, you know, suits, hair always tied back and everything. And, you know, I guess she's used to just being with like these jerky guys and, you know, they just use her probably like she sleeps with them the first night, because that night she's already first time out and she's already expecting to sleep with him. She's even like, you know, pulling the blankets thinking, should I be sexy or not? And this and that. And he runs and jumps. And at first she's kind of like shocked. But after he says goodnight, you kind of see her like smile, lean back and kind of, I guess, realize like, oh, wow, to her, to him, it's like, all right, let's go to sleep. In her mind, she saw it as in like, oh, I'm being treated differently for once. Like, I'm, you know, and then slowly you start seeing the child at heart come out in her, because then you literally, as the term is, lets her hair down, you know, you see her style start to change throughout the film from where in the beginning suits the 80s blazers with the pads. And then she just starts to like really turn teenager-ish. And what's cool too is that this has probably all happened. I don't know. It's like when you're in high school, because what grade was he in?
He was like 14.
Okay, so he's like high school. All right. Oh, it says right here he's 12 years old. Oh, crap.
12?
What grade is 12? That's junior high, huh?
Like, yeah, 6th grade, 7th grade.
Crap, that's junior high. Okay, anyways, when one of your friends gets a girlfriend, they forget about you. They're all about this girl now. And they do that in this film. Because he starts liking this girl. He starts to realize, like, oh, she likes me. And I guess I have a girlfriend. And he and the buddies always trying to get a hold of him, this and that. And it's funny because it's seriously how it would be. The moment one of your buddies, when you were a kid, started dating, they were always with the girl. And you're like, damn it, like, we never hang out anymore. And I like that they do that.
And then they break up a month later. Like, no, man. All right, you can come back from the group.
Right. They're like, oh, and then they're there. That's why, man, buddy, your friends are always there for you, man. that's why you never blow them off. And yeah, so it's like, you know, you see that going on. And it's cool because, like, as it goes on, obviously, he keeps climbing up the ladder. Like, the rest of the movie is pretty much his relationship with this girl. It just, with the company, he grows. The kid is consistently on the job to find the Zoltar machine. The mom, we haven't talked about that, but the mom is had called the cops. The mom, the kid's missing. Every now and again, he calls to, like, you know, hey, you know, he's fine. And he starts singing, I think, Memories, right? He's like, Memories.
Yeah.
And all of that, like, and it just, it's like majority of the rest of the film, it's just, it's all funny, but it's just, you just start seeing the story. Like, it's not much to talk about for the exception of one scene where a 12-year-old gets laid, basically.
Yeah, dude, I was gonna talk about that, because as a kid, like, I watched it and I'm like, oh, that's weird, he's with an adult, you know, it's like, that's weird. But now being an adult, I'm like, wow, that's freaking twisted. This woman thinks that this is an adult male, but he's actually a kid. Like, It's just interesting how, like, I remember what I thought as a kid about, like, ew, gross, he touched her boobie and, like, stuff like that, you know? And now, like, as an adult, I'm like, this is really weird. This is awkward, you know? And, like, I'll save it, but, like, we'll save the ending, I guess. But and then also as a kid, I think this was the first time I was kind of introduced to the F-bomb on screen.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up.
On screen, yeah. So it's when his friend calls him an a-hole and says, you know, oh, he goes, who the F do you think you are? You know, and then I was just like, ooh, you know, and when you're a kid, you know it's a bad word. And then seeing kids say it too, you're just like, ooh. So, yeah, as a kid, I remember I was like, wow, that's a bad word. Like, he said the F word, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the freaking... I want to really quickly go back to... Ah, crap, I'm picking up my feedback. Damn it. Hello. Okay, good. The one thing I want to talk about real quick is that it's funny that that scene is like, again, that was the other scene I was talking about, that a child for the first time, it's like, she turns off the light and he's like, he turns it back on because he wants to see.
Yeah.
In her mind, you could look at both characters in that scene. You see her, she sees it as pure just sexual. She like leans back, closes her eyes, whatever. In his eyes, he sees it as in like, wow, this is the first time I'm seeing this.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He's like, this is the first time I'm seeing this. You know? And that's what's funny. And you know, here's something I want to bring up. And I don't know if, I mean, I always throw out questions and usually people never respond. But I want to really throw out this question. I'm hoping somebody will respond about this because this is very rare. The first time they ever aired big on television, I think it was on Channel 4 on like a Saturday night years ago. The first time, there was an introduction to the film by the mom actress. And she talked about I can vaguely remember, but I know she talked about how, even though, like, it's kind of like, you know, watching it with the family, but, you know, it's parental guidance because there are some scenes not for the kids or something like that. And I've never been able to try to, like, find that, like, online, see what, like,
yeah,
and I remember that, like, the first time watching it. And there's that because of that scene, and then like, but the mom comes out and does like a little like parental advisory thing for that movie. I don't know. It's I just thought it was it was always weird when I was a kid when I saw that. But anyways, so
well, I was gonna say a scene that was in the extended that wasn't in the original cut was she actually in the extended, she starts picking up the fact that he's like maybe a kid, because he says it when, you know, he tries to tell her, hey, I'm a kid. And she's like, oh, I see what you're doing. You know, you're just trying to get out of this relationship and we all are kids and stuff. He goes, no, I'm really a kid, you know? And like after that, she starts picking it up because they walk and she asks him, hey, can you get me some gum? And she's kind of like curious. Is that in the original cut?
Yeah, it's in the original cut.
Is it? Okay. I didn't know if it was. I don't remember if it was or not. But like how he, you know, picks Bubblicious or, you know, the zebra. I love the zebra gum back in the day with the stripes and stuff. But he gets like kids' candy and stuff. But yeah, there's like just certain scenes where like, I know there's in the extended version, there's like scenes that actually her suspicion. It adds to it, and you know I'll get to it because I have a couple questions.
Well, like, I mean, we're already towards the end, anyways, because that's literally like that. What you're talking about is like literally 10 minutes left of the original cut. Like,
so they find the Zoltar machine, and then he, you know, he wishes something, but and then as she drops him off, you know. She sees this her boyfriend, it's her boyfriend, turn into a kid. If you're her, what kind of psychological damage, you know?
His head explodes.
I
did
what with a child for a year or however long it was, 6 months. Like, I had emotional feelings. Like, you know, it'd be like Big Two, the aftermath. And she's like in a psychotherapy, like, you know, just like in a straitjacket. Like, I loved him. I loved him.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like. They never talked about how crazy that is for a woman to fall in love with a 12-year-old boy.
Dude, it would freak me the hell out being like, I just spent like, I don't know how long they were, the movie plays out. They said it was going to take like 6 weeks. That's what they were talking about. Like, because they went to some office or something and they were trying to find numbers to call to find out the Zoltar machine. So let's just say if there's that time frame of 6 weeks, you know, so obviously it was over a month and like a month and a half, maybe 2 months. I'll just say for that, the time frame of the film, let's say 2 months. In that 2 months, she fell for someone. So regardless, if I met some girl and she's like, you know, my age, let's just say she's 33 and I have like a 2 month relationship. And then at one point I see her walking away and she turns into a 12-year-old. I'm going to freaking, the next day, Max is going to be visiting, recording 88 episodes while I have a straitjacket being like, I'm going to be like mind blown. Like, what the hell? And no one's going to believe me. Like, I'm going to be like a crazy person.
You'd be in jail. I had a relationship with the 12-year-old girl.
Yeah, and they're like, what? No, but she was 33, but then she shrank. Yeah, because he's an adult, and as he walks away, he becomes a kid.
Yeah.
And I was just like, the hell? And like, yeah, what was the outcome afterwards? Like, there is no...
And she smiles. She's like, she waves and smiles. Like, I'd be like, what?
See, here's the thing. This movie, you assume, ends in a happy ending. But I want to know, like, another hour worth of the movie. Because, look, here's two questions that are... One, what happened to her? Like, she must have had a nervous breakdown. She's going to... Because, guess what? Everybody at work is going to ask, what happened to him? Where is he at?
Right.
Like, he has... Like, what's going on? The company is going to freak the hell out because they're like, here's one of our best employees. He's missing. So, and guess what? She's the last person to see him.
Murderer.
Exactly. You know, so who knows? And also, too, there's also someone else that has a motive, and it's that other employee, the dad from Home Alone.
Right.
He has motive enough to feel jealous. So he could actually be accused of murder. They could go visit him, be like, you never liked him, and this and that. Yeah. Now let's cut to his family.
Dude, I was going to get to there, too. I have a question about the family, but go ahead.
Well, no, because all I was going to say is the mom is going to be like, where you been? Like, who had you? Like, what was going on? They're always going to ask him these questions, and he's going to be like, even if he tells the truth, they're going to think he's going to have sidetracked. Like, they're going to have to take him to a therapist, this and that. Like, the rest of his life is going to be hell.
Well, my question was, what happens when he actually turns 30 or at that age? The mom's going to be like, wait, you're the same guy that was in here, you know, remember? Because she totally saw him. Like, what happens when he hits, you know, when he goes through full-on puberty and he actually becomes a male? He's going to get recognized by the mom. Like, what is that going to look like? And then also, like, he comes walking in with a big old suit on and it's like, what? Like, what? Oh, you're back? But I'm like, oh, yay! Josh is back! Josh, why are you in a suit that's... five sizes too big.
Like, right? He's all burnt.
Josh is back!
And it's seriously a Back to the Future moment where how, you know, like, they're going to see Marty McFly and they're going to be like, hey, I remember there's someone that looked exactly like you back in high school. You know? And that's what's going to happen. When he becomes an adult, the mom, she's always, like, no matter what, because of that situation of what happened, all she knew as a mother was, my son is missing. Someone must have kidnapped him or whatever. She's always going to remember the man who was in her house. That image is never going to erase. So the moment, yeah, when Josh grows up, she's going to remember that face and be like...
she's going to try to stab him.
It's going to... yeah, like, what the hell? You know? Maybe she'll believe it or not. I don't know. But there's so much that happens at the end of the movie that's left unanswered that honestly doesn't end well for anybody. Like I said, someone's going to be convicted of murder. And I'm not convicted of murder, but it's going to be suspected for murder, questioned, you know.
Go into thousands of dollars.
And they're going to want to know where he has been this whole time. They're not going to believe him. He says, I was big, you know. So I don't know. There has to be some sequel that ends up being horribly wrong. So the happy ending ends up bad.
We should totally make like Big Two. Like, yeah. Or that seems like a Robot Chicken thing to me. Like,
Big Two.
totally robot chicken, like, you know. Like,
big two, I'm in big trouble.
My secret, I'm in trouble. That's my big secret.
So, yeah, so, I mean, that's basically the whole movie there in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's just like, all in all, we've been praising this film, and it is a really good movie. This is one of those movies where I went back, I looked back, and at no point did I ever be like, cheese, like, ah, cheese. Cause there are some movies, as much as I love, I'll watch it and I'll be like, cheesy, like, oh, here's the cheese, right. Here comes the cheese.
Timeless.
And this was one that, like, I still felt like entertained by it. Like, I was like, there is no cheese, like, it's still a good movie. And I feel like, looking now, it's very underrated compared to all his other films.
Yeah, totally. We should make a top 10 underrated 80s movies list. Yeah, that'd be dope. But yeah, no, I would say that this is probably one of my favorite 80s movies, like top five. This is this is probably one of my top 10 favorite movies of all time.
Really? So,
I would say so. Maybe like 10. Oh, but yeah. Yeah, no, I love this movie. I just think it's clever, you know? It's written well, it's acted well, it's directed well. It's got emotion, it's got real feelings. Because when you can connect with a character, you can connect with emotions. That's how I know a movie's good.
Yeah.
Is when you can see yourself in that situation, or you can relate to that character and stuff. And I also think it's really interesting, like I said earlier, you know, I have two different ways of looking at this movie.
Yeah.
I remember it as a kid and being like, oh, that's cool. He has his own like place and he's playing on a trampoline. But I also remember as an adult and saying like, oh man, like look at this woman who fell in love with a kid and, you know, the things that kid must have dealt with, you know, like poor kid, you know? So,
yeah. And all of us, like I was watching the movie and I was like, God damn, like I'm like, look at this guy. Has an awesome career, got promoted, and he has a big old loft and buys everything he wants.
In New York, as a 12-year-old.
Yeah, I was like, damn, that bastard was like freaking, got like, man. And I remember even watching that kid and even watching it now, I'm just like, I wish I had that.
Yeah, totally. And then, you know, what's funny is I was thinking, I was like, where's my electronic comic book, man? But then I was thinking it was the Game Boy. Because you know how at the end he pitches his electronic comic book and you have to, like, put in these codes and stuff. It's like a computer.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, what's the equivalent of it now? Like, you know, this is 1987. I was trying to think. And it's the Game Boy. The Game Boy was an electronic comic book,
mm-hmm.
basically. So... that's cool. Cool for Game Boy.
Yay, Game Boy.
So, yeah. So, what would you rate this movie?
I would give it a... what are we doing it, level-wise? Zero to what?
I do 0 to 10.
Okay, so we're doing... No, I meant the rating scale was 0 to 10. So, yeah. 10 is the highest. Okay.
Yeah.
I would give this also a 10.
Yeah.
At no point am I bored. At no point am I looking back like... and I'm like, all right, this is, you know, there's some movies in the 80s that I loved and I've rewatched now where there's certain moments where I'm just bored and I'm like, you know, like as much as I love the movies, like Labyrinth is one. There's certain scenes, especially the whole masquerade ball where I'm like, I want to skip this, you know, Great Outdoors. There's certain scenes where I'm like, I want to skip this. So I would have to give this a 10. I think it's a great film. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I'd give it a 9 to 10 around there. I don't know. I get a little cautious when I say 10s because give 10s out to everything that it loses its specialness. So I'd say about 9.5, 9. So, okay. But I love the movie.
Well, then, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, I get, you know, I'll stick to 10. I'll just still say 10. It's a good one. It is really a great film. All right, perfect. So that was our little cool mini review of Big. All right, so before we go, obviously we're gonna do Song of the Week, and again sticking with a little bit of the I guess harder tunes that I've been trying to give you guys this week. I'm gonna give you an early industrial synth pop EBM song I'm going to give you guys off of Ministry's album from 1986. The album's called Twitch. The song I'm going to give you is called The Angel. It's just very... This was the end of the synth pop sounding Ministry. After this point, the albums after and so on, it just became very hard metal industrial. If you listen to Ministry now, it's completely different. But this is the Ministry that I love. Like I said, it's still the 80s, all like, you know, exactly like with Sympathy, that album was like the beginning of them. And you just hear it's like new wave, synth pop and all of that. And this album was the end of that era where, like, I mean, it's good. It's a great album. I remember listening to this album so much driving the work in my early days at Rainforest. I don't know why. It was just something about that album. Every time I would drive to work, I would listen to this freaking album. But it's a great album. But the song I'm giving you is called The Angel. All right. So that's it. Any final words?
Just let us know if you have a request. Let us know.
All right, cool. Yeah.
For a movie, game, even a song of the week, let us know. This podcast is for all 80s lovers, man. So be a part.
Yeah. All right, cool. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Again, please follow us, like us, rate us, especially on iTunes. Please comment, rate us, give us some love on there. We're on Instagram. You could easily find us on Instagram at 88 MPH Podcast. Twitter, we're at 88 MPH Pod. We're also on Tumblr. Get us on Instagram, Podbean. iTunes, Stitcher. They play us on Rant Radio, irantradio.com. They stream us, but you could easily find us also too in other ways. If you're not able to sit there and listen to us, you could find us. And yeah, so that's basically it. So I guess from here, you know, me and Max, we enjoyed being a bunch of 50-year-old men, but it's time that we, you know, go back to our original age after being in love with the woman whose mind was just blown, is now in a psychiatric hospital or whatever.
And well, I always blow the mind of my wife, so I don't know what you've been talking about.
I don't know. I'm just doing a knowledge of the movie. Or no, better yet, now Max just, and now his wife is going to be shocked because Max is turning back into a 12-year-old. And as I try to race him away to New York City to save him from the craziness, we get hop into the DeLorean and travel back to the future.
Look, I know I don't look like myself, okay? But something really strange happened, and I'm really scared, and I need you to help me, my best friend! I can prove it to you! The space goes down, down, baby, down, down the roller coaster. Sweet, sweet, baby, sweet, sweet, don't let me go. Shimmy, shimmy, cocoa pop, shimmy, shimmy, rock. Shimmy, shimmy, cocoa pop, shimmy, shimmy, rock. I met a girlfriend, a Triscuit. She said a Triscuit, a biscuit, ice cream, soda, pop, no. Ooh, Shalita, walking down the street, 10 times a week. I met it, I said it, I stole my mama's credit. I'm cool, I'm hot, suck you in the stomach 3 more times.
Josh?